streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. It is SMU Cincinnati week, and the Mustangs have bounced back going into this game, snapping a two-game skid thanks to their 55-28 win over UCF at Ford Stadium on Saturday, a game that we'll briefly recap before getting on to all the news regarding SMU Cincinnati. And we'll also be joined by Brandon Seho, friend of the podcast who covers the Bearcats up in Cincinnati, to give his thoughts on the matchup as SMU takes on Cincinnati at 2:30 on Saturday for senior day at Nippert Stadium for the Bearcats as well. So going back to SMU, UCF, Tanner Mordecai threw for 377 yards and three scores. Trey Siggers and Ulysses Bentley had really strong days running the football, with Siggers adding 93 yards on 11 carries. Bentley gained 97 yards on 14 carries. And while most of that came on a 56-yard touchdown run by Bentley, still good to see him back in action. SMU did lose Danny Gray to injury on Saturday, and his status for the Cincinnati game is certainly questionable. We'll update a little bit more on that later in the podcast. But Dylan Goffney stepped up, 10 receptions for 88 yards. Rashee Rice caught a touchdown. Grant Calcaterra caught a touchdown. Reggie Robertson caught a touchdown. And overall, just a really dominant win by SMU once they got over. Kind of a start that when I was rewatching the game, I was a little surprised SMU went for it so early in the game on 4th and 1. They turned the ball over on downs. UCF capitalizes. Before you know it, they're up 7-0 on SMU. And it was just a day that SMU's offense wasn't going to be denied. SMU and UCF battled. They were 14 all, 4:32 to go. Bentley rips off the 56-yard run to tie it at 14. And then from there, Trey Siggers added two more touchdowns. Rashee Rice added his. Blake Mazza added a field goal. And you looked up and it was 38-14 SMU at half. So just a dominant showing by SMU's offense. Really, they never looked back. You know, I think that was the big thing that really impressed me. UCF, outside of the early going, was never a threat in this game. Even when they opened the second half scoring, it was a 17-point lead for SMU. And UCF just really had no answers for SMU offensively. The Knights were held to 333 yards overall, 209 passing, 124 rushing. They were 6-17 on third downs. You know, SMU just really took it to them start to finish. And maybe it was the built-up energy and or frustration of 2 weeks of losing and having your conference championship hopes put on life support. But SMU certainly took care of business against UCF, so you like to see that. And meanwhile, in Tampa, Cincinnati beat up on USF 45-28. It was 31-7 for the Bearcats early on in the second half. They probably didn't finish as well as you wanted them to if you're Luke Fickell. The game ended up being 31-21 entering the fourth quarter, but Cincinnati just, you know, put its foot down and won 45-28. Desmond Ritter went 31 of 39 for 304 yards and two touchdowns. It's kind of scary for SMU. He rushed for a season high 65 yards for him. You know, the thing about it is that Cincinnati is just, despite kind of having a little bit of an up and down slate as of late, you know, they battled with Tulane. They had a tough game against Tulsa at home. They won that 28-20. They had to outlast Navy on the road. Other than that, this is a really, really strong football team that SMU's facing. It makes sense. They're right there on the cusp of a college football playoff appearance. They beat Notre Dame on the road. They beat Indiana on the road. You know, they've really just looked the part all season. They're one of the, I believe, one of three teams to rank top 10 nationally in total defense and total offense. They are really you know, just dominant overall. The thing about SMU going up there for this 2:30 p.m. Central kickoff is it is senior day. SMU hasn't won one of those in a minute. And Desmond Ritter is 24-0 all time at Nippert Stadium as the starting quarterback. So SMU will have to really shake some things up on that front to get a win that at this point would kind of be improbable for SMU if you're following this team and the way they've played. They just haven't been able to put together many big wins and wins over teams that are good in November. And this is probably the biggest challenge SMU's had since playing, Navy for their senior day a couple years back. Cincinnati is just really stacked. 32 seniors on this team. That group is 41-6 since arriving on campus. And, they don't want to lose, their chances at a college football playoff appearance. They have a chance to clinch an appearance in the AAC championship game on Saturday as well. And going back to last year's game where SMU lost 42-13 in Dallas, I go back and I look at that game, and one, I will say, look, SMU went down 14-0, weren't ready, once again, out of the gates. Cincinnati was in complete control of that game for the most part because of that start that Cincinnati had. But that was a game that SMU was knocking on the door late in the first half to give themselves a chance to tie the game, and they had the snafu with the clock management. Ugly sequence there that led to a field goal. So they go into the half down 14-10. And then from there, you see Cincinnati break away with 14 unanswered in the third quarter. But that wasn't until, halfway through the third quarter. I give SMU's defense a lot of credit in this game. They forced a punt to lead off the second quarter. And then SMU's offense punted, and then Cincinnati went on a long drive that ate up 5:22 of clock, and then SMU's offense went punt, interception, field goal, downs to end the game. And it was a game that after that field goal, it was 28-13, 15-point game. Cincinnati fumbles on the next drive. And then SMU implodes in the red zone. I believe that was where Kylan Granson had a drop. And then Cincinnati punts it away again to SMU, goes three and out. Credit to SMU's defense. And then once again, SMU implodes in the red zone. And that was something that Sonny Dykes highlighted to us when talking about this game. And then Desmond Ritter scores on a 91-yard touchdown run. And from there, the route was on to make it a 42-13 final. So there's a difference when you look at that score and you say, okay, SMU, just completely sucked. And offensively, they did not capitalize by any means. I mean, they really struggled on third downs. They ran the ball for just 75 yards. They took some penalties, six penalties for 60 yards. And Shane Buechele threw a touchdown. But, racking up 22 first downs, they were just able to be in position in a way to make plays and to capitalize, and they just didn't. That's the thing that if you're looking for progress this year with this game, SMU has to capitalize when given opportunities, and they haven't in big games in the past. And that's something that I want to see the growth happen with when SMU goes up to Cincinnati. And we'll preview a little bit more of what the Bearcats bring. But, I'm not going to pick SMU to win this game. I think that's kind of just irresponsible. It doesn't make a lot of sense to do that. But they are better equipped to compete with the Bearcats this year. And especially if Danny Gray could find a way to play. He's a game breaker. Dylan Goffney stepped up Danny Gray had a boot on his ankle or foot or whatever on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I would say it's pretty unlikely he plays. So SMU is going to need somebody to step up. But, you know, this team is better equipped to, you know, hang with Cincinnati this year. They just have to capitalize. You know, Tanner Mordecai's had a rough last 3 weeks, despite being able to lead that offense to that big yardage output that they had against UCF and put up 55 points. He's still going to have to really step up for SMU to win this game. On the flip side of things, we're going to preview the game with Brandon Seo in just a second, but I do want to share my prediction for the game. I think SMU is going to lose this one. I know it could kind of be a trendy pick the way Cincinnati's kind of looked, and maybe SMU puts it together, but I can't pick against the Bearcats in this one. I'm going with the Bearcats winning 42-34. I think they're going to take care of business. You know, SMU has a chance to cover. I think in this one, I really do. I think they're going to put up a fight. But right now, I just can't pick up against this Bearcats team. They're finding ways to win. They've got a quarterback that's never lost at Nippert, and it's senior day. So until SMU kind of proves me wrong in some of these November road games especially, I'm going to have to go with the Bearcats and a team that is really, really talented and well put together this season. So I'm going with the Bearcats 42-34. But now on the other side of this break from the Pony Stampede podcast, we're going to catch up with our friend Brandon Seo to get more info on the Bearcats and what to expect from them in this game on Saturday. So stick with us on the Pony Stampede podcast. We'll be right back after this quick break.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pony Stampede podcast. Thanks for listening. We've got a friend of the podcast back for yet another appearance with an SMU Cincinnati game on the line, and that is WLWT sports reporter Brandon Seo, covers the Bearcats up there in Cincinnati. Brandon, thanks so much for the time. It's got to be quite a fun time covering the Bearcats, entering senior day with a chance to finish off Desmond Ritter's home record run of 24-0, looking to go to 25-0. What's set the scene for us up there? I mean, things have got to be rolling right now for the Bearcats just overall.
Yeah, it's a storybook season. I mean, it is everything that any UC fan has asked for. You know, back in 2009, Cincinnati went undefeated and they had a really good team, played a really tough schedule, and then were greeted with Tim Tebow in his final game at Florida in the Sugar Bowl and got blown out down in New Orleans. But this team is going to go down as the best team in Cincinnati football history, I think. I mean, they have the talent. They have NFL talent. They've got the big win at Notre Dame. It is – College game day was here 2 weeks ago. I mean, this is the biggest season for the Bearcats football program they've ever had. So it's riding high. Things haven't been as smooth the last 3 or 4 weeks, but that happens in a season where – you're chasing perfection. You've had your big wins early in the year. Now this SMU game, I mean, I think this is their toughest game. It is their toughest game since that Notre Dame win back in early October. So it's going to be interesting to see how they step up to the challenge. But, I mean, they're playing with confidence. The fan base is rocking. Nippert on Saturday afternoon is going to be a fun, fun place to be.
Yeah, run that back for us the last few weeks. You kind of mentioned it, and it kind of began with that those two road games at Navy, at Tulane, then Tulsa, and then they hit USF. They were up 31-7 at the half against USF. That game was clearly in complete control, but it seems like you kind of said, it hasn't been smooth. What's kind of been some of those rocky waters that you're talking about with those last four games?
You know, Luke Fickell talked to us about what keeps him up at night is just not being able to close out that fourth quarter. And once they give up a big play, which is something that could happen this week against SMU and Mordecai, is once they give up a big play, is sometimes they get a little distracted and they don't just move to the next play on defense. But this is a very mature group, and they've been able to close out games. There's never been a game where in those four games, it started, like you said, it started Navy, at Navy, at Tulane, and then Tulsa here, and then at USF last week. There was never a point in those games where you thought the team was going to lose, but there were moments where it got a little rocky, a little nervous, and some of the parts. They weren't as convincing wins as, say, you know, Temple and UCF, and they just blew the doors off them right after that Notre Dame win. So it's been just letting teams kind of hang around. It's been, and SMU's a much better team than who they've played, but they seem to play either, sometimes they play down or they play up to the competition. You know, Notre Dame, they were up 17-0 at halftime in South Bend and won that game by double digits. So, but then you go down to Tulane and it's a close game going to the fourth quarter. They end up pulling away 31-12, but it's just been not being able to have that killer instinct to close it out at the end of games. But, you know, there's wear and tear of the season. There's the pressure. I mean, this is not something they're used to being on, you know, ESPN every day and College Game Day every day and the playoff show. And I mean, they're one of the top, I mean, they've been number two or three in the country for over a month now before the college football playoff rankings come out. So it's new territory. I think they're trying to figure out how to deal with that, but Coach Fickell's confident they'll be all right. And I think they will too. It's just been weird. Some of these games like UCF or the USF game in Tampa, like you said, they went up 31-7 and then there's a couple defensive lapses and they have a good young quarterback down there and some speed on the outside. So, but they shouldn't be doing it against a Cincinnati defense that's supposed to be one of the best in the country. And that's the most points they gave up all season is 28. So I think they'll be hungry to bounce back, especially when they got a guy that can throw it around like SMU's quarterback.
Does it all kind of start offensively with Desmond Ritter? I mean, when he's at his best, I mean, they're obviously rolling on offense.
Yeah, I think so. It the biggest thing for Cincinnati's offense is that first drive is just to get that first down, and then they run tempo, and it is hard to stop them. As soon as they get one first down, and they get that, it's like an instant confidence to just get the ball rolling and they can just push it down the field. And that's how it is on any drive with them. But just to start the game like that, I think is big because it gives Dez the confidence and the momentum to just throw it around. And another thing is when you got a running back like Jerome Ford, I mean, you can hand the ball off to him. They got three or four backs that have had to play the last couple of weeks, you know, rotating in because Jerome's been hurt, but I think he'll be ready to go for this weekend, and that's a good thing for the Cincinnati offense. But I mean, they got speed and size at receiver. Alec Pierce is their big threat guy on the outside, and then Trey Tucker's your speedster. I mean, they've got dudes that can make big plays. But like you said, it all starts with Ritter. I mean, that kid is special. He's, I think, 31-5 as a starter, or 32. I mean, it is. They just keeps getting better each week, obviously, since they're 10-0. But I mean, since he took over at quarterback, he's grown and matured, and you've seen it over the years playing SMU. And last year's SMU game was the breakout game for Desmond Ritter. And that was, you know, kind of his coming out party as, all right, this kid can actually be a quarterback that can lead a team to maybe a college football playoff and play in the NFL next year.
Yeah. And he's helped the offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock, land as a Broyles Award nominee this season. And defensively, they have, you know, Mike Tressel taking over that defense this season from Marcus Freeman, who, funny enough, left for Notre Dame in the offseason, and Cincinnati beats Notre Dame. What have you seen defensively, the changes on defense, and obviously they're still top 10 in the country. They're doing it with a new play caller. What are some of the changes that you've seen defensively, though?
You know, they've looked really like the same defense that they've been under Coach Fickell and Freeman. And, you know, I think Fick has his hand on that defense. I think, you know, he's a defensive guy, you know, played at Ohio State up front, and him and Marcus are really close, and they worked together on that unit. But it's looked really, really similar to the identity they've had the last couple of years. And that's because they're a veteran team and they have a lot of really good guys. I mean, that secondary is one of, I don't know if I can say the best, but it's one of the best, if not the best in the country. Especially with your cornerbacks. I mean, you have Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant, who are two of the, 9-10 finalists for the Jim Thorpe Award for best DBs in the country. You have two of them on the same team. So that defense is really, really good when they're at their best. And they've shown they can be a little vulnerable to a couple big plays, but not much this season. But he starts in the back end, you know, with those guys. They're the big names, but then up front, you got a guy like Majay Sanders, who's going to be a first-day NFL pick on the edge. I mean, he's one of the best defensive ends in the country. And their linebackers, Darian Beavers is a kid that stayed for, a long time. He's a local kid out of Corrine High School, one of the powerhouses here in Cincinnati, and he leads that unit. But they just have dudes at every level, and they're also really deep. Like, they have a lot of depth, and I think that's what makes them dangerous. And you look back at the Notre Dame game, and I mean, I know Georgia had, some guys out, but those are still SEC guys, and they're the team that's played Georgia close in the last year. And it's because they have all that depth on defense, and most of that defense is back. So that's why this team plays so confident, is when you have a defense like I think I asked Luke early in the season after that Notre Dame win, when they jumped up to the top five, I said, do you feel like you honestly have, you've been places, you've been at Ohio State for a long time, you know what one of the best teams in the country looks like. Do you feel like you have one of the best teams in the country? And he said, yes. You know, there's guys on, both sides of the ball that are going to play on Sundays. We play complimentary football. I mean, all three phases, they're really, really good. And I think that's one of the big reasons why they're winning, because Dez can have a tip ball interception. That you throw that defense out there, and they can, Majay can sack you, and then they can be a pick six or a three and out thanks to the linebackers and DBs, and it just gets rolling.
I'll leave you with this opportunity to make a game pick, Brandon. How do you see this one playing out? Bearcats favored by 11. Last I looked, do they get it done on senior day and clinch their spot in the AAC championship game?
I think the Bearcats get the win. I think it is going to be fun in the first quarter, maybe first half, because Mordecai is going to test them. And it's going to be fun to see if they try to test Sauce, because no one throws at Sauce ever, and kind of what SMU comes out to do. I think Cincinnati gets the win. I think it's close in the first half. I think it's – oh, man, I hate doing scores. I'm going to go maybe like a – 42 to 24. I think that's kind of the ballpark I'd go in, and I'm sure I'm stealing your score somewhere around your ballpark.
No, you were close. 42-34 is what I picked. It's funny enough, if this spread moves to 11.5, the Bearcats then move to 3-5 this season. When favored by an 11.5 or more. I don't know what it is if they're favored by 11, but they are 4. They're 3-1 at the spread when they get up over 407 yards per game, which I could see happening against this SMU defense. I think the Bearcats win 42-34. Maybe a late SMU score allows them to cover the spread. But this is one where the Bearcats have a chance, even though SMU is not in the top 25, to put another quality win on their resume. They probably wish that SMU wouldn't have dropped those two straight. They did, but right. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Bearcats move to 11-0 on the season.
And just remember, I just want all the Pony Stampede podcast listeners to know that you have been to Cincinnati and you liked Skyline Chili. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing you'll hear on this podcast.
It wasn't bad at all. Wasn't bad at all. I like Thank the you. Where do we go for barbecue chart? Not Chart House.
We went to there's Montgomery Inn is the famous ribs, and then we went to Smoke Justice for the barbecue.
Yep. So some ads being tossed out on the podcast as well today by Brandon. So there we go. There we go.
if anyone's in town, tweet me or have me at the game.
Yeah, Brandon loves a post game beer, so. Feel free to buy him one after he's done.
Four or five.
Yeah. He's cheap. Yeah. Anyway. But all right. Well, Brandon, thanks so much for jumping on the pod. We'll talk to you again without a doubt during basketball season when the Bearcats and Mustangs get together on the hardwood.
Sounds good. Thanks, Billy.
All right. Catch you next time, and catch all of you Pony Stampede podcast listeners next time. Feel free to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and subscribe to the Pony Stampede podcast. We will catch you guys with post-game reaction from SMU's road trip up to Cincinnati. Hope everyone has a good weekend, and thanks for listening.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.